Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Robert Murray of The Athletic joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Thanks, Robert, for a few minutes. How are you? Happy opening day part two today when there's like 10 people covering the team instead of the 200 that were there yesterday.
Which is great. I love it. I love today.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, me too. I'm definitely looking forward to a little less people there.
Get a chance to stretch out a little bit. Yeah, stretch out a little bit. Oh, yeah. Plenty of room.
Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah.
It was packed yesterday.
Oh, God. Yeah. No kidding, man. Hey, you know what? You won't see those guys again until October if we're lucky to get them.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
Hayward will not be down here covering any games. Oh, so anyway, separate. back to this team. What was your takeaway from yesterday? The biggest takeaway that you took from opening day yesterday?
Yeah, I would say it's the continued importance of Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. I mean, last year, those guys were the heart and soul of this team. And on day one, Yelich hits a three-run homer, gets them right back in the game when they were just – the energy was taken out of the stadium yesterday right after they ended up going down 3-0 right out of the chute. And then Lorenzo Cain to save the game right at the end, 5-4 victory. That was probably one of the more unique opening days I've ever seen. And it was just, it really emphasized the importance of those two and how crucial those guys are going to be going forward. And yeah, they're very important.
Robert Murray on Twitter at @ByRobertMurray. You can check out his work at The Athletic. And I saw maybe a couple articles ago that you had written where you took You called the Brewers at 95 wins. And now Chuck and I did say Central Division champs. And my opening day overreaction after watching them yesterday, and I said, man, this team is special. Maybe they will get to the World Series. But before the season, you're thinking 95. This bullpen, we don't know who's going to throw today if they need somebody in a big spot. Is this bullpen going to hinder them from getting to the 95 if this Knebel thing is a year-ender?
Yeah, so I was just having this discussion recently. Throughout the entire season last year, whenever you got to like the seventh inning, you basically knew the Brewers were going to win. And then yesterday, after Josh Hader was out in the eighth inning, I wasn't exactly sure who would go out for the ninth inning, whether it be Matt Albers or Hader again or what they would do. And the uncertainty was not something I was really used to. And when I made 95, the prediction for 95 wins, I kind of forgot. The importance of the bullpen and those guys last year was extremely it was vital. And the uncertainty with the bullpen this year, maybe 95 wins was a little bit bold, but I'm still going to stick around that 95 range just because I don't want to back off of it, but. That bullpen uncertainty is really going to end up playing a factor later on in the season.
I'm worried it's going to play a factor tonight, to be honest, because I don't know who's going to close.
I have no idea who's going to end up closing, if it's going to be Hader again. I mean, most likely he's going to be out after pitching two innings.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated to see what they do if they end up having to go with that situation.
All right, so you kind of been on top of the Kimbrel thing. What's going on there? I mean, who else? I mean, are they looking for a multi-year deal with Kimbrel? I mean, is his agent looking for that? Are they going to sit out for a while? What do you see is going on there?
My guess, and this is right now, this is a complete guess, is that Kimbrel would want a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. I don't see him being the kind of guy that would settle for a one-year deal. But that being said, the Brewers right now are not believed to be the favorites for Kimbrel. There was actually optimism that a deal would happen at one point, and that has seemingly faded, and there's pessimism that they'll end up completing a deal. I think Kimbrel was a guy that they were intrigued by, and David Stearns has had this motto of checking in on everybody to see if he can find value. But in this case, I don't think a deal is going to end up happening unless the asking price goes down or the Brewers just become really desperate, and I don't see that happening.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Already, do you know if any of the other teams in the Central are involved? Because if I'm the Cardinals or the Cubs, and I know this is going to be a tight race, I'm thinking I hit the Brewers where it hurts, and I go get the guy that they're trying to go after. And maybe you got to pay a multi-year deal, but if it can assure me the division, I'm going to go after that. So I know we've talked about the Braves and some other teams, but I don't want to see. I don't want to wake up one day and see by Robert Murray tweeting that the Cubs have locked in Craig Kimbrel for a 2-year deal, $50 million.
Yeah, no, I have good news for you, though. I highly doubt the Cubs go after Kimbrel just because they got financial constraints that I know the Athletic here is out of Sharma and Patrick Mooney have really covered that extensively. But I would also say, I mean, I think the Cardinals would be a more realistic partner for Kimbrel than the Cubs, but I still don't see that happening. So I don't think you're going to have to worry about me tweeting about Kimbrel to either one of those teams.
Okay. Well, I mean, what's the next option then? I mean, are they going to bide their time until the trading deadline and somebody maybe comes available by then, somebody else, like a closer on a bad team?
Yeah, I would say they're probably going to end up having to wait until the trade deadline or unless somebody else ends up getting released that they don't see like happening at this point. But before the season, they were scanning the options out in the market, and they really didn't find anything to their liking, and that's Stearns and what the front office has really done is they make calculated moves. They don't panic or they don't overreact to certain situations. They try to find the exact scenario that they like, and then they pursue that, and they didn't end up finding that. So I would imagine they're going to end up finding a scenario at the trade deadline that they probably have more of a liking to than they did before the season started.
Talking with Robert Murray of The Athletic, you were down there in spring training. You were covering the team. You've been covering the team now for a while. But seeing what you saw in Arizona to now, I think that the biggest thing that I wanted to see coming out of camp was I want those young guys starting. I don't want them bouncing around. I want to see Woodruff start. I want to see Burns start. I want to see Peralta start. And that is the recipe that for now they're going to go with. What have you seen from those three guys? Because the Brewers are going to need to hit on at least two of them to have like really solid years if they're going to get up to that 95 wins or even just to win the Central. Who are you more, I guess, of the three, the most optimistic about?
You know, I think you can make a case for either one of the three, or like any of the three, I should say. But if I had to go with one, I would say Burns, just because last year, the success that he had out of the bullpen, and in big situations, I mean, you could also say this for Brandon Woodruff, too, don't get me wrong. But Burns, the upside with him is tremendous. They ended up drafting him out of St. Mary's. They really didn't know what they had, but they knew they had a lot of upside with him. And his ability out of the bullpen last year was really good. And this year, now that he's going to be in the starting rotation, he's going to have five pitches. He added two from last year, and he feels really comfortable throwing them. The Brewers are super, super, super high on Corbin Burns. And it would not shock me, maybe if it's not this year, but maybe even next year, if he turns out to be their best starting pitcher going forward long term.
Yeah, I asked a couple other baseball writers about this, and I haven't had a chance to ask you about Orlando Arcia. I mean, this has got to be a big year, I think, for him to prove himself that he can be, okay, we know he's good defensively, but he can hit. And this is fourth year in the league. Man, this is one of those deals where he's got to step up to the plate, literally.
Yeah, and if he's able to put it together at the plate, he's going to end up being an extremely important piece for them. Mm-hmm. And even in spring training, too, you got to see that he was starting to put it together. And last season, in the postseason, game 163, he looked like he was a solid player at the plate. And if you combine that with his otherworldly defense at shortstop, he's going to end up being an extremely valuable player. And you got to see it last year, too. I recently wrote it in a piece for The Athletic. His splits, whenever the Brewers won and they lost, were just, it was eye-opening how important he was to the team's success. So, yeah, I think his importance this season is probably going to end up being one of the more underrated storylines just because he can bring so much to the table.
Okay, if he doesn't deliver, and we're talking midseason here, if he's going along and last year they sent him down to minor leagues, if he doesn't deliver for them, would they go out and get themselves another shortstop, you think?
Yeah, so I did not tweet this, but it was during spring training at one point. The Brewers were in on Jose Iglesias before he signed with the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, what a good singer, man. I love this duet with Willie Nelson. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Julio Iglesias. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
but no, the Brewers are never they never were seemingly the favorites for Iglesias. Don't get me wrong, but they were in on him. They had interest, but he ended up signing with Cincinnati, as I said. So I wouldn't shock me if they ended up going out and got another shortstop. I wouldn't expect it to be a big name, more of a complimentary piece like Iglesias, but it would not shock me if they tried to go get one if Arcia struggled.
He's on Twitter at @ByRobertMurray. You can check out his work with The Athletic. I will not see you today. It's not opening day, so I ain't going. But Chuck will be there.
Yeah, I'll see you at night.
So you can run into Fringe.
I'll see you there, Chuck. Yeah.
All right, man.
There we go.
Be there eventually another time. Robert, thank you for a few minutes. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
See you, Robert.
Robert Murray joining us again. Check him out at The Athletic. @ByRobertMurray on Twitter. Always some good insight there. So that's good. I mean, if the Cubs aren't in on Kimbrel, that's good. We don't have any money. Are we buying that?
Well, I mean, we're all in, aren't we?
No,
aren't we?
The Cubs.
Oh, no.
The Cubs continuing to say we don't have any
money.
That's
ridiculous. Well, Ricketts coming out and telling this fan base that they don't have any money to spend. Are you kidding me? No.
They just Murphy World did that whole area.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. They got, that's what they're doing down there. The Packers and Cubs are basically doing the same thing. The Cubs got a ton of money to spend. So I don't know what Ricketts is trying to do here, unless he's trying to sell the team, which he's probably not. But, yeah, their payroll is pretty high already. But still, they could afford to probably add some more pieces. I mean, they need help in the bullpen. They didn't do anything in the offseason. It was basically vacation time for them in the offseason. They did nothing. That's disappointing that the Brewers are, their interest in Kimbrel is waning.
Dude, Ryan Hollins is getting destroyed on Twitter by you guys.
Oh.
I mean, you guys are coming to our help.
Which is great.
Funny? Yeah.
Which is great. But I mean, after today, I mean, again, this is the most pub that Ryan Hollins has ever gotten.
Oh, I know. Grant's got a great tweet. Ryan Hollins can't close out a Twitter fight. What a hypocrite.
Yeah. No, his idea of closing out a Twitter fight is blocking. And, you know, okay, if people are coming at him with names, I get that. Not Eric name, but, I mean, calling him names, that's one thing. I mean, nobody's should have put up with that abuse. But still, although you did drop the F-bomb when you were trying to get him on a show.
This goes for any aspiring broadcasters. If you're going to have a hot take, I don't know. It is working for Ryan Hollins. I mean, he is basing on his career on the fact that Giannis can't close out games. That's so stupid.
Well, if he's basing his career, he's going to not have a career.
That's so stupid. Yet, have we talked about all show? Ryan Hollins.
Yeah, but he works for the Clippers.
It's working.
Or Fox Sports West or whatever it is.
We've talked about him for 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's not going to help him get any more jobs. I mean, he's not like he's trying
I can't get enough of this guy.
I've never thought about the guy until yesterday when he appeared on the broadcast and saw Twitter kind of go crazy. And now, I mean, after today, we'll be done with him.
Well, we're not going to be done with Perkins after today, and you shouldn't be done with Perkins after this weekend. This weekend, a lot of great deals. You can get the Friday fish fry after 11 o'clock for $10.99. Tomorrow, kids eat free after 4. They do this at Perkins, Southeast Wisconsin, Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4. Kids get a free meal when you get a meal. So head on to Perkins, eat a delicious meal, and then your kid will eat for free. Also, the $9.99 burger combos is a great way to get a lot of food for not a lot of money. And I'm talking like big, thick burgers, whether it's the classic cheeseburger or the turkey burger or the breakfast burger. Imagine a patty with hash browns and bacon and an egg on there and cheese. You don't have to. They'll give it to you. You don't have to imagine it. Get that burger, then the fries, and then a slice of pie. $9.99 for all that. At Perkins. Check them out all over the Southeast Wisconsin area and wherever you may happen to find yourself at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler, we are going to chat some college hoops and cover everything we did not cover. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.